This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the besotted Pride of West London podcast, and we're coming to you on the eve of International Weekend. Except for International Weekend, we're not going to be talking about Ivan Toney possibly playing for England. We're not going to be talking about the Brentford men's team, who've got a weekend off in principle. We're going to be talking about something much, much bigger than that. We've got Brentford women who are playing. Yeah, listen to the cheers, and there's going to be more cheers than that on Sunday as well. They are playing Ashmount Lee on Sunday at New Griffin Park.
Hooray!
Otherwise known as the G-Tex Stadium.
Hooray!
Apparently, I've been told, which is all good. And there's going to be a big crowd down there, and it's going to be lots of fun. And we're going to talk about that game, because it's an absolutely humongous game for the women. And we've got in the virtual joint with me, I've got Lainey Lane in the house.
Hello, mate. You all right? You sound a bit coffee. Have you been struggling? Have you?
I've been in bed for the weekend. After we won't talk about Brentford, what happened there at the weekend. But after that, it probably sent me to bed for a few days, and I've literally only just got out, sweating and all sorts of stuff. You know, but we shall move on, because this is a positive podcast in the house, and we've also got somebody who's going to give us lots of knowledge on the women's game. We've got Ali Mullally in the place.
Hello, Bill. I'm very excited. I've just got back from the club shop and I've just bought my women's replica jersey, because there's limited editions, replica jersey, women replica jerseys, and I've just been and bought mine. So I'm very excited about that.
Excellent.
I've waited a long time for it.
That's right. So if you want your women's replica jersey, get down to the club shop right now and go and buy it. But anyway, listen, we're going to give you a little bit of an insight on what's been going down in the women's game, because there's been all sorts of football going on. We've had the B team playing, we've had the first team playing, we've had all sorts of stuff going on as well. But as it happens, we've had the women who've been just chiseling away, getting results and doing some very good things in the league, in the London and South East Regional League, as it is. And it's coming to a bit of a head now. You know, we've still got quite a few games to play. But like I said to you, this game against Ashmount Lee on Sunday is a biggie. Ali, you are very excited about it, aren't you?
I'm very excited about it, because it's sort of like our women's team are in absolutely fabulous form at the moment. They're scoring for fun. They're winning games after a slightly slow start to the season, but they've really hit their stride at the right time. And they're just banging in the goals. I think they will just absolutely thrive in the atmosphere of the G-Tech. And hopefully the G-Tech will be rocking again on Sunday evening.
Yeah, and just listen, just give us a little bit of a lowdown on the season, because I mean this isn't the first time that the women's team have played in Brentford's main stadium, okay, at all. I mean, they played there, it was actually sort of last season, but it was actually kind of 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. They played against Watford, and it was just before the World Cup, if I remember rightly, round about that time. And again, another big game. 5,000 fans in the house. They played Watford, but they weren't as elevated. They weren't as high up even in the league pyramid as they are now, were they?
They were in the same division. So we were in Division 1. So we're in the same division we were last year, because last year we had only one team goes up to the Premier Division, and last year we had Dorking Wanderers ladies.
Yeah, we know Dorking are like, so they're like the Man City of that.
So our chances of getting promoted last season were always up against it last season, and we took them right to the last game of the season, actually, to be fair. If they'd won their last game, which they did, it didn't matter what we did. And actually, as it turns out, we actually lost to Watford at Watford's home ground that day, so we didn't get promoted despite a real effort to get there. So we're trying to get promoted this season, and we had a slightly slow start. We didn't win our first couple of games. Took about three or four games to get going, but like I said, we've really hit our stride now, and we're currently fifth in the table, which doesn't sound great. And then you realise we've got five games in hand on the leaders. So, and we still have to play them. So we are 16 points behind Sport London Benfica, but we have five games in hand and we still have to play them. Yeah. So it's difficult because no football, however good form you're in, somebody could come along you don't expect to beat you and beats you. So that might change, but it is still very much doable. But it's the way they're playing, the way they're scoring goals, the way they're playing, they really are relentless at the moment. It's very much still on, and Sunday is a big game, because every game's a big game at this point in the season.
Yeah, and again, I mean, Lainey, I suppose, again, for yourself, talking about football, talking about the women's game, talking about the opponents of Brentford, I'm sure that sort of Benfica probably wasn't one of the names that you expected to hear us talking about them playing against, is it, Lainey?
No. I heard, the Barcelona of the lower leagues, but they're the Benfica of the women's leagues, obviously. But no, I mean, coming back to, the Sunday's match, it's great to see, the women's team given that opportunity again, and it makes perfect sense. We sit and we watch the women's Premier teams play in front of 60,000 and that at the Emirates and other big stadiums when their men's games allow that, and I just think it's part of the evolution of Brentford Football Club. We've seen over the last 12 or 13 years since Benham took over, how he prioritises, the everything gets its turn. Once he's, he needed to obviously sort out the first and foremost thing at Brentford Football Club, which was, the men's team, get us into a strong position. And then the ripples throughout the rest of the club is, the training ground, the B team, the academy, we've seen, and now, and the women's team, I think all of that will have the same kind of magic wand treatment. And the as I say, the priority, I think, will ramp up. And I just see the success the women's team are having this season, and the amount of goals they're scoring, and, Chloe Logie kind of scoring fun. And I see the women's team growing under Carly Osborne, and it's great to see. So, I think as many Brentford fans should get down to the GTEC on Sunday and sample it. It's a really positive vibe going on at the moment. And with the men's team unable to buy a win at the moment, there's a good chance someone in red and white might get 3 points.
Yeah. And just to mention as well, of course, Carly Osborne is the ex-Brentford player as well. I remember he made his debut against Hull City when Hull were, I think they were going to get promoted, or I think they even got promoted. They came down to Brentford and we put on all our youngsters, our little academy players on the pitch, and Carly made his debut on there, and we beat Hull, and it was a complete and utter shock to the whole world that we beat them. But Carly Osborne has gone on from playing for Brentford to now actually managing our women's team as well now, and he's doing a very, very good job. So so check him out as well on Monday. That is interesting as well, you come back to this as well. We're just talking about this season as well, because we're just trying to see how it panned out. I mean, Hounslow Town obviously were in the league, but they became under financial difficulties, I think it was, and they actually ended up going bust in the end. So I'm not sure. I mean, I think their games got, some of them got, they got expunged, didn't they? So they played games at the beginning of the season, and then
bust stop in Hounslow.
Yeah.
That's right.
We never played them. It was supposed to be. I don't think they even played, actually, because it was supposed to be our first game of the season, and it didn't happen. So I don't think they actually ever got any games off the ground, Hounslow. So I couldn't swear to that, but if they did, then everybody's got a walkover against them, basically.
That's right. Yeah, I remember a few teams sort of saying, you know, how disappointed they were that the games got called off. I think very, very short notice.
Oh, yeah, it was the day before. Yeah.
Very, very short notice. So, you know, so unfortunately, Hounslow went down. But then the first game of the season actually was against Ashmantley, and do you know where Ashmantley is, by the way, Mally?
It's Essex way, isn't it? I think.
Laney? Laney, you any idea what Ashmantley is?
What's the prize?
The prize is a packet of tomatoes, a tin of tomatoes.
Tin of tomatoes?
Yes.
Okay. I'll have a bit of that then. No, I don't know. No.
Any area? What county?
Kent.
Kent. So you're saying Kent and you're saying Essex. Ashmantley is actually in Redhill in Surrey. So it's kind of down that way, going down towards Gatwick, down to Croydon way, actually.
I didn't go to the away game.
So why have they got a ship? Why have they got a big boat on their badge then?
Maybe because Lee, I don't know, that's a good question, actually, Lane. You didn't prepare me for
there
that
must be
one.
A reason for it.
Yeah. Maybe they're like a franchise FC, so maybe they were maybe they're initially in Hastings or something like that, and they moved them to Redhill because of is in the commuter belt. So they lost that game, and also like I said, they played Hackney as well down the way. They drew against them, which wasn't like I said, to Brentford warming up then as well. Then they played Ryslip Rangers. I know Ryslip Rangers very well.
That was the FA Cup.
Yeah, Ryslip Rangers. We actually played Ryslip Rangers about four times already this season. The old Panthers. They've got a massive setup down there as well. But that kind of set Brentford on their road to the accelerator started to go after that game, didn't it?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, our first three games we got 1 point from. We started the season at sort of like in the sort of we had quite a few new players, quite a few things changed around, and I think it just took a while for the team to get into balance. That FA Cup game was probably the turning point because we beat Ryslip Rangers 4-0. That was the first preliminary round, I think, and then after that we did actually lose to Sport Lodi Benfica at their place. But narrowly 3-2. But after that, we just sort of like we've steamed on really, and we've been winning games in the league. And the reason we're so far behind everybody else in the league is that in terms of games played, is because not really the weather so much. I mean, we did have a couple of when we got to the first round proper of the FA Cup against Southampton Women, we had, I think I was postponed twice because of weather at their place, and eventually switched to Bedfont. But also because they've got to the final of the Capital Cup and the League Trophy. So they're in two finals.
Still got to be played, haven't they, as well?
Yeah, one of which unfortunately does clash with the last day and time of the Premier League season, which is really, really unfortunate scheduling. That's the League Trophy final, on part of the league.
So which one are you going to go to, Ellie?
Yeah.
Which one? Well, which
it
match
depends,
are you gonna go to?
Doesn't it? It does depend. I have to say, if the Newcastle game becomes a must-win...
Oh,
if it becomes a must-win, probably got to go there. Mm. If it's a dead rubber, I'd probably consider going to the ladies' game, although it's quite a long way away. But we'll have to see. I'll make a decision that I haven't decided, to be honest, yet. It's a difficult one for anybody, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that they're so far behind because they've just got to the final of everything except the actual FA Cup proper. And you were talking, Lady, about how many goals they scored. Do you know how many goals they scored this season?
What's the prize?
do you have to have a prize to give an answer on anything?
75.
Oh no, close. Actually, that's the second highest goal scored, which is Sport London, Benfica. 80 goals.
Wow.
80 goals. And that's doesn't include the County Cup, so that'll be in the League Trophy and the league. So we've played 11 league games, probably 4 in the trophy. So in 16-ish games, 80 goals in 16-ish games.
That's not a bad shout though, is it?
Chloe Logie scored half of those. She scored 42.
Tell you something as well. I mean, we're just talking about, and we're going to be talking to some fans a little bit later who actually go to matches, you know, week in and week out. it's a very different kind of setup.
This is the Bisaccia.
You know, it's a very, very different setup, you know, that you've got here with the women's game. It's a lot more informal. You know, you go down to the game, you know, you get your fans meet up. But I was also looking at some of, you know, the teams that you play and some of the away days, and they actually look quite good. You know, you go in places like Whiteleaf and Abingdon, not Whiteleaf, I mean, that's all right, but Abingdon, you know, town. You're going across to, you play in Clapton as well, I think. You know, do you play across at Clapton Community?
Yeah, that's right. The problem with the Clapton Community is they have flags and they have not one drum, they have two drums.
Yes.
So they came to Bedford with two drums.
Yeah, they're quite lively.
Yeah, they're very lively, but they can be lively, but we don't need the drums. No one needs drums. Brentford FC, we don't need the drums.
They've bought them, so they've got them down there as well. Also, Dulwich Hamlet, obviously, I popped down to as well. So I've been seeing women's games down there. It's good. They've got a good vibe. They get decent crowds down there as well at Hamlet as well. So yeah, so it's done the double over them.
That's right. Which is good.
I did see. I was quite quietly. I just sort of kind of was very reserved about that as well. It's interesting as well, mainly because they play Leighton Orient as well. I think that might have been in the cup.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, because Leighton Orient actually played. I saw them play Dulwich Hamlet a couple of seasons ago, actually, in the cup. I'm just wondering, do you think that maybe Leighton Orient women also made up a fake rivalry against Brentford, like maybe Blaney?
Yeah, reigniting rivalries from the men's game. Now, I'm not sure that continues over, does it? I mean, I guess Man City, Man United games and Liverpool, Man United games are still feisty, and I know that Sky like to kind of ramp up derby games, you know, across all sex matches. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, mate. But so you thinking of getting some Russell Slade trophies to wave around.
Me and Ristic went down there with our silver trophies. Yeah, me and Ristic were there with our silver trophies.
Nice one.
Yeah, I'd have thought so as well. And just the last question I'll obviously ask Ali, because this is very, very important to show where your loyalties are. When you played Woking, did you get down there with your placards and say no? Yeah, that's all Brentford beat.
Yeah, no to Woking, 100% no to Woking. Yeah, no to Woking.
Excellent. Okay, that probably, people are thinking what they're talking about, but that's referring back to the back in the day when Ron Knowles tried to move Brentford to Woking, and the fans came out and said no to Woking. There's all sorts of demonstrations and all sorts of stuff, which is all good. But anyway, listen, we've had a little bit of a chinwag. What we're going to do is actually we're going to go down to the training ground. We're going to have a little chat down the training ground with Molly Holmes. She's going to give us a little bit of a lowdown on Brentford.
So here we're at Bedfont, the training ground, the football ground where Brentford play as well. It's a Friday night, two nights before the big game as well. And the Brentford team are coming down, getting themselves ready, getting trained up for the game on Sunday. I'm very excited as well, and it's still a couple of games to go, but I'm sitting here also with Brentford's captain as well, Molly Holmes, and you're getting ready for training. Molly, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. Yeah, one training session left, so important, and then big game.
That's right. And like I said to you, you say big game, and we're playing Ashmount Lee on Sunday at the GTEC Stadium, and this is the second time that the women's team have played at the stadium. I just want to know, because that's a big, big thing. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I unfortunately missed out for injury last time, so I'm even more excited this time because I feel like I've now got to fix that I didn't play last time. Yeah, so exciting. Just shows the evolution of the game that we get to play there in front of hopefully thousands of people. And yeah, just super excited.
I mean, super excited. I mean, you say it's a big game. I mean, do you think, I mean, you've been with Brentford Women since, the 2015, nearly 10 years as well. So you've seen the sort of them growing. You've seen the evolution, as you say, over the years. Do you think that this is Brentford's biggest game?
100%. In terms of, we've had lots of cup finals, which was fantastic, but in terms of the crowd, and that I think we're going to get down, super important. We're going for the league this year, that's the main aim, and a little bit of revenge as well.
Oh, we talk about that a little bit later as well, the Ashmount Lee revenge. You talk about this season though as well. I mean, you had a bit of a slow start to the season, you only got 1 point in the first three games, but then after that you sort of the plane took off after that as well. Just tell us how the season's panned out.
Yes, like you say, a little bit of a slow start. Disappointed with the results. I think we didn't kind of show the best of ourselves, but especially the turn of the year, unbelievable. We're scoring goals for fun. Logie, we just give the ball to her. She does the job. And yeah, it's been going really, really well. We just need it to continue.
That's right. And like I said, you've been here since 2015. Just talk to me about the challenge, because listen, we're sitting down there before we turn the microphone on, and we're just talking about grassroots football, and you're talking about coaching some of the girls out here as well. I mean, I'm talking to you about my grassroots football team, Barnet Panthers as well, who, you know, they're starting off at the bottom edges of the grassroots scale, but you've now gone up the 3-4 notches now. What's the difference between 2015 when you joined Brentford and 2024 now?
Oh, it's unbelievable. In terms of facilities, the support we're getting is just unreal. The girls are trying to distract me by watching me. Thank you very much. It kind of makes you appreciate, I think, a little bit more, because I was there when, you know, the funding was a little bit lower. We didn't get the fans that we did kind of now. And it's just, yeah, amazing to see the evolution of it and be on that journey.
And I mean, again, 2015, what would you do? Where would you play matches? Where would you train? What's the difference? I mean, other that you've got a fitness day, you've got a weights day. There's all sorts of stuff going on now, isn't there?
Yeah, so we train 3 times a week. We've got a gym session. And then obviously here at Bedfont on the Astro, which is amazing, we used to train once a week at Lampton School, and we try and get kind of a 5-a-side on a Monday if we could, just to try and get extra football. And that was the best part that we could kind of go for. And now we've got luxury of 3 times a week on a great pitch as well. And yeah, it was great.
And just interesting as well, because again, 2015, you started off there. How many of your colleagues from 2015 are still with you?
Oh, there's a couple. There's a couple still lingering. They can't get rid of us that easily. There's a few of us. So Amber, Sophie Troff, yeah, we're still going. Obviously, Chloe Webb has kind of come through the hole with Brentford when she was, I think she joined when she was like 10. So she is the original.
Yes.
And so it's just so nice that you've got a couple of those people that have been there through the start of the journey, and then you've got those that are joining on the way and just as part of it.
That's right. I mean, okay, we're at the stadium Sunday, okay? I know that you weren't there 2 years ago when Brentford played Watford, okay? Like I said, a couple of years ago, they got the result that they wanted in that game as well. I know that you couldn't get yourselves on the pitch, but you were there or thereabouts. I mean, how was that as a first experience for your team in the stadium? Because even though you couldn't play, you still experienced it.
Oh, it was an amazing experience. It was obviously a bit sweet, but to watch my team go out, do the job, win, and in front of 5,000 fans is amazing. And I'm hoping we can get even more. And this bit, it's just a little bit sweeter because hopefully I'm going to play.
Yeah, that's right. And just talking about that last season as well, you know, they narrowly missed out on promotion, I'd say. It was 4 points. Dorking, we know about Dorking. Dorking calling the Man City of the lower leagues, can we, at the moment now? Maybe or maybe not, I don't know. But anyway, Dorking, they pipped you 4 points to that one automatic promotion place. I mean, that must have hurt last season.
Oh, gutted. Especially we took it down to the final game. We gave it everything. I think people wrote us off pretty early on, thinking, yeah, no, the gap's too big. And we just, game by game, kind of started narrowing it down. So we were devastated to kind of miss out on that. But you know what? At the end of the day, when you go hindsight, we're really proud of ourselves. And this year, we're going to do it.
That's right. Okay, let's just go back. Let's go way back, like, you know. When you started playing football, like I said to you, your dad or your mum used to take you to football. But you were struggling to find football, weren't you? I mean, you ended up playing for, was it Hampton Youth?
Yep.
Because you ended up playing for Hampton Youth because that's the only team that you could find at the time. And it wasn't a girls' team as well, was it?
No, I basically found it through my cousin. It was a new team. I kind of, at that point, there wasn't any girls' teams. I played with my cousin, I played with the boys, got stuck in. And it wasn't until I was quite fortunate, at 11, I got into Middlesex Centre of Excellence, where then I was used to playing with girls. But that's kind of quite rare, and those kind of facilities at that time weren't around, which is now they're a lot more readily available.
Yeah. And when you played for Hampton as well, because obviously you're playing against boys, and I know this as well because my daughter played against boys, and it's quite tough, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely tough. It builds up your confidence, because then you're kind of, you have to get used to it. You're like, you know what, if the boys are going to leave a bit on me, they're going to know. They're not going to go, oh, it's just a girl. Trust me, they'll know by the end of the game that I'm giving as good as I get.
And didn't you find, I mean, when you're playing against the boys, the fact is that they didn't like, and I'm just saying this because I've seen it myself, they didn't like the fact that, say, for example, if they tried to take you on and you tackle them, they used to almost like get slightly more annoyed, you know, if you kind of got past them or if you scored a goal past them as well. They do certain, again, you know, talking about when my daughter used to play football against boys up in Essex as well, and she got past this defender and he could not beat her, okay? The boys' team beat them as it was, but they couldn't get past her. So in the end, this boy literally just came and he just pushed her over. She was only 10 or 11 at the time, but he literally just pushed her over in the face. The referee did nothing, the opposition coach did nothing, but the fact that he was so angry that he couldn't get past her. Did you get a lot of that?
I was quite fortunate in terms of the teams I played for. The boys backed me up. They had my back through the entire thing, really. But yeah, definitely, you find that kind of vendetta when they're like, oh, a girl's not going to be better than me. No chance am I going to let a girl beat me. So you do see that kind of anger and stuff like that. But I kind of use it as a positive that if I'm irritating you that much, I must be doing my job.
Yeah. And just slightly different to a daughter, because she was actually playing for a girls' team. So I think that the backup wasn't quite there. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, though, you're saying that it's toughened you up to make you the player that you are now as well. Do you think that experience?
Definitely. Because I think up until 11 or 12, all I knew was playing with the boys. But I think it's amazing kind of now to have the option of doing both. You can play with the boys, but equally you have the facilities and the options to go and play with the girls and feel a little bit more comfortable, as opposed to maybe being in an environment when you're not kind of yourself. You don't want to play inwards because the boys might be saying things. Although I must say, the young boys I coach and stuff, I know they wouldn't be doing that. So I know we've developed a long way, but yeah, it's good to have a bit of both.
Yeah, and like I said to you, we keep talking about you. 2015, you come all the way through. Now you're playing for Brentford in their main stadium. You're one of the top players for them. You're the captain. What's your ambitions?
Oof. Personally, do you know what? Honestly, I just want to play as many minutes as possible and get as high up those leagues as we can. That's genuinely my kind of personal goal. Same with the team this year, is winning the league. We've got two cup finals. Let's go and get those as well. Just do another treble, we'll do it, no problem. And then, like I say, next year will be to get us keep rising up those pyramids of football and then get us to the top.
Yeah, and I mean, you play for Brentford, you know, best team in the world, of course, like, you know what I'm saying? But I know you're chuckling there because you're a Chelsea fan, really, like, you know what I'm saying? So, but there's nothing wrong with that because, you know, there's work and pleasure as you split them. But the question I'm going to ask you, though, is your playing style. You know, you describe yourself as a bit of a... And we're describing you in, you know, comparing you maybe to male players because people might, you know, be able to sort of direct comparison. But Lampard meets Rice, okay? Is that a fair comparison there?
I mean, I'll definitely take it. I'll definitely take it. I'm not known for my goals, unfortunately. Yeah. So Lampard can take that bit. I'm not known for my goals. I've got a bet on Sunday to try and win myself £50 if I score. So we're going to try on that one. But yeah, I'm more defensive. I'll shout as loud as you can. Yeah, you can't escape my shouting. And like to just dictate the play, move the ball, and the strikers can do their job.
That's right. So listen, coming to the match on Saturday, Ashmount Lee. Beginning of the season, we talked about this, 3-2. They nicked a result against you very early on in the season. Just newly promoted as well, so that must have been a little bit of a gutter. However, that was early on in the season, and since then, you've been like a runaway train. Is this fair to say that this is a bit of a grudge match, a bit of a you know, must take all?
Oh, definitely. I think we've got a score to settle. By no means is that the team they're going to play. The one that featured at the start of the season, we have developed so much. You wouldn't think it's the kind of the same. We've nice bit of rhythm. We're confident. We're scoring goals for fun. And yeah, definitely, we're going for revenge and we're going to get those 3 points.
All right. You've got a couple of cup finals as well, though, you see. So, you know, focus, because obviously you've got a lot of things going on at the moment now. You want to get that one automatic place. Listen, the game's still on. I mean, there's a lot of points between you and Benfica, and it's really nice saying Brentford and Benfica in the same phrase as well, like, you know what I'm saying? But there's a lot of points between you and them, but you've got about 5 games in hand over them. You win all them games in hand, I think there's a point. So basically, and you've got a match against them on the 21st of April as well, which is a big game. So there's a lot to focus on. Do you think that you can keep focus on those two cup finals and that league campaign as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think last year we were used to the league kind of going till the end of May, so we've got that experience from last year, and we're just taking each game as it comes, and our priority is the league. But we're going to get the two cup finals as well.
That's right. Okay. And to say the game itself, you know, Ashmount Lee, talking about your teammates, talking about yourself, you know, where do you think you're going to do damage?
I think if we move the ball quick, we're a playing side, you know, we like to move the ball nice and quick, switch the play. I think if we play the way we can, moving it left to right, playing it into our strikers and forward kind of runs, I think we'll punish them.
And, you know, obviously don't want to give it too much away, even though they've probably got their scouts out, they've been scouting you, like I'm saying. But, you know, what do you just need to watch out for? Because obviously you don't want to slip up, you know, how are you going to keep it tight?
I think it's first 10 minutes, obviously going to be a little bit nervy with the whole occasion. I think we just need to stick tight, kind of no silly risks. If we need to go a little bit longer, then let's do it. But I think if we start well, first 10 minutes after that, we'll be all good.
That's good. And like I said to you, we're hoping for 6,000 plus people. I've heard 6,000 plus tickets have been sold for this game already now as well. Trying to get that number up. If anybody's listening to this podcast and they're thinking, should I come down to this game? You tell them why they should be coming down to this game, what they're going to see.
Well, you're going to see a great game of football. You're going to see, obviously, Brentford are going to get 3 points, of course. That's what we're going to do. And, yeah, it's a great event for families, lots of kids. I think we've got lots of events going on. meet and greet potentially at the end. So yeah, we'll be going around, so please get yourselves down. £2 for an adult, free for a junior and child, so get yourself down. What else can you do on your Sunday?
That's right, what else are you going to do on a Sunday? Molly, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Really, really good luck on Sunday. I look forward to it. I've got some of my Barnet Panthers girls coming down to cheer you on. There's 6,000 plus people going to be down there. Make sure you do the business, make sure you get them red and white stripes, and make the Brentford fans proud.
Of course, we got it. Don't worry about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
So there you go, a little chin wag with Molly Holmes down at the training ground. Lovely. Molly was really, really focused for the game on Saturday or Sunday. I keep saying Saturday, and I'm so used to us playing on Saturday. At least, tell you something, at least the women's games don't move from TV, Ali. You know exactly where they're going to kick off, don't you?
Oh. Well, yes, most of the time. It's usually sort of like cup finals, they seem to be scheduled to do two different places at once sometimes, but yeah, the league matches, which is quite nice because you know where you're going to be and what time you've got to be there, and exactly. Yeah, you don't have to get back from Newcastle at 5 o'clock on a Sunday evening or something.
Yes. Do you all remember it back in the football programmes back in the 80s where there used to be like pen pictures of players and they always used to say, you know, favourite TV show Starsky and Hutch, favourite meal steak and chips, favourite band like the Eagles,
Match magazine, something
like that. Yeah. So I've just looked on Brentford's website and there's a pen picture of Molly, and off the field, Molly enjoys watching Netflix hit Sex Education, Emily in Paris, and her favourite film is Just Go With It. Molly works in finance, but she also says that if she was not playing football, she'd be a radio presenter. Her favourite song is Break My Soul by Beyonce. Her favourite place in the world is Weymouth.
Weymouth.
Yeah. I've got nothing against Weymouth.
She also enjoys eating anything with pasta, and her favourite flavour of ice cream is coffee. There you go.
You know,
everything you need to know about Molly there.
Weymouth, I mean, that's like a city, that's South Coast Beesland. Steve Butler, the Butler, one of our old crew from back in the day, who moved down South Coast Bees. I think he's a bit of a Weymouth boy as well, so maybe they may have bumped into each other. She may have seen him wearing a Brentford shirt as he wore it walking his dog on the beach or something, lady.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you know, they probably met while she was queuing up for some coffee ice cream, probably just talked about Brentford.
That's right. Brentford everywhere, mate. Talk about Pelé, talk about Cruyff, talk about Beckenbauer, talking about Molly Holmes. Ali, talk to us about Molly Holmes. What type of player is she, you know, and what has she done for the side? How does she hold them together as a captain?
She's the nearest that the women's team has to a holding midfielder. She's probably a holding midfielder, but she rotates possession really well. She holds onto possession really well because she could break up play really well. She's a fantastic little player who I would say is one of those players that you don't really notice until she's not there. She does a lot of the legwork so that others can shine. And I think she's absolutely crucial to that team. I think you really notice when she's not there. She was injured for the GTEC game last season. So I'm really pleased that she's getting a chance to play there this season because it must have been really difficult to, you know, watch the others go out there where she could play. But yeah, she's a fantastic player. I really, really like her. She's one of those, like I said, she's not one of the big stars of the team, but she's absolutely crucial. The way she breaks up possession, she takes the ball with her back to goal and turns and plays it forward from the defence. You know, she brings the ball forward, brings Nikki Woods into play, I think, really well, who's the winger who is creating a lot of goals for us this season and scoring a lot of goals. So, yeah, I mean, Molly's just, she's just the heartbeat of the team, really, to be fair. And that's not overstating it.
Yeah, and I mean, me and Lainey talked about this on the Pride of West London podcast for, you know, when you talk about the men's games as well. We've talking recently about captains, you know, Norgaard has been in, Norgaard has been out. We've had people step in. Ivan Toney stepped in to Norgaard's place for a little bit, you know, after he came back from his ban. We've had Pontus Janssen, who was our captain, who we thought at the beginning was great. Then, you know, on the pitch, sometimes he was a little bit offish, so you thought, okay, we're not going to miss Pontus Janssen because, you know, he's been superseded probably technically on the pitch. However, we've now realised now, you know, at the times when you actually need the fight, you know, a player like Pontus Janssen's really missing from the team, you really, really do miss him. I'm just wondering how important is Molly in that sort of kind of Pontus Janssen-esque kind of mould? Is she quite similar to him.
Yeah, yeah, really important. Really important in that she is, don't take this the wrong way, Molly, she's quite gobby on the pitch, which is a good thing. And she's very much backing her own players and very much full of encouragement. You know, it's quite a young team in general, that team, you know, quite a young team, and she really pushes them on. And she's not afraid of telling people what she thinks either. So, I think she's a really absolutely the right person for captain. And we do miss a woman who's not there. Regan Graver, who's the centre-half, who is a fabulous player, who's the vice-captain, is a very different type of captain, sort of like... She's probably more like a Christian Norgard type of captain. I hate this comparing the women to the men all the time. They stand on their own, but that's what she makes me think of. But yeah, Molly's actually crucial on so many levels to that team. She really is.
Yeah, and we're not doing it disrespectfully, but I just think that a lot of Brentford fans who will listen to this podcast will have seen the Brentford men players play week in and week out. So it's just at least it's easy to get a comparison if you can actually do it. Lainey, when we went to the Women's Euros and you sort of commented on just the style of football and you just said, you know, how refreshing it was when you saw basically people who can play the ball, you know, very skillful. It isn't necessarily just going out about trying to break legs. It's actually about going out and playing football. Is this something that you're looking forward to on Sunday again when you see the Bees?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, the two games are... you know, have their completely their own identities. You know, as Ali said, it's the tendency is always to compare the two. And of course, there are, you know, there are similarities. Of course, the rules are the same. And, you know, and the roles within the team, are, you know, there are comparisons, of course. But when you actually see the women's game, they it does flow differently. And I enjoy watching the women's game as well. As you said, it does seem to be a lot more skillful. There are obviously our tactics, but yeah, I think there's definitely a lot more kind of running with the balls. There seems to be a lot more dribbling, and individual skill seems to stand out a lot more. I notice when I watch the games. So yeah, I think there's less pressure, especially at this level. And I think, you know, the women will obviously want to play to their potential and impress and what have you. But it seems to be more of a natural game at this level, it's great. You know, they play with a smile on their faces a lot more. And I think, you know, we need to embrace that, really. You know, the spirit of the game is... you know, he's certainly an excellent one.
Yeah.
And I think just to come into there, what Lainey said about the games being different. And yeah, it is very much so. It is a different game. And yet at the same time, it's the same game. But the one thing I will say, you know, regularly watching our women's team and regularly watching our men's team is that there is a very much a club ethos of how we play, playing out from the back. I mean, you would have to go back more to when the men's team were in the Championship, because obviously... we have to play differently to compete in the Premier League, as we've seen. But the playing out for the back...
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Retaining possession, the being or trying to be on the front foot and attacking as much as possible. If you think how Brentford men were in the Championship, you know, in the days of the BMW, Brentford women are playing in that sort of style, in that sort of ethos. So you remember how exciting the BMW team was to watch? The women in their own way are as exciting to watch as that, because they really are on the front foot. They're attacking. They play it out for the back. They recycle possession. They get forward a lot. So, you know, there is an ethos there that you would say they're quite recognisably a Brentford, in inverted commas, a Brentford team.
Yeah, and like I said to you, for me, and as a lot of regular listeners will know, you know, I set up a girls' football team, Barnet Panthers, as you know, has been going a couple of years now, so I'm sort of quite well versed in, let's say, women's football or girls' football, obviously a much lower level because we're playing under 13, 14, 15s as well, but still, it's still steeped with a lot of the same things where, you know, we could see Brentford playing at another level. And that's why I'm actually really sort of interested to see how Brentford have risen and how they've kind of gone up sort of two or three or four notches in the last few years. Because, like, you know, a lot of the girls that I work with, they really, really do aspire to these young footballers as well. And the way that they play their football, a lot of them are really, really skillful. They're really clever. Yeah. And, you know, they've still got things to learn tactics wise and game wise, positioning wise, all that kind of stuff. But skill wise, you know, it's on, some of it is on another level. It really, really is. Like, you know, so it's actually really exciting to see how football has moved on in the last two or three or four years. Really excited to see kind of how Brentford have stepped on, because I haven't seen the women's team for, you know, a good 6 months or so. It's really going to be interesting to see how they've stepped on since in the last 6 months or so. Ali, I mean, you've talked about Molly Holmes, but tell me who else you're excited about in the team.
Well, we have to start with our number nine, Chloe Logie, who's just been, well, she was phenomenal last season. She scored over 30 goals last season, and she's just taken it up to another level. I mean, she's on 40 plus goals this season. And I would say that she's only 19, only just turned 19. And I would say that she has brought also much more into her game. She's always held the ball up well, but now she's really aware of other players and is bringing other players into play as well. So she'll hold the ball up and brings other players into play really well. But she's just got such an eye for goal. You know, there was a goal that she scored on Sunday and you just think, that's too wide. She's not going to reach that. She just somehow managed to get her toe on it and poke it home. And she's one of those centre forwards who's always in the right place at the right time. Admittedly, she's got some fantastic players creating opportunities for her, but she very rarely misses. Very rarely misses. And I mean, I can't see her not scoring over 50 goals this season, which for somebody of her age is quite remarkable, really. Then a couple of others. Others, Regan.
And I'm going to ask you just quickly before, sorry to be interrupted, just interestingly, I mean, she scored 38 goals from 20 starts, okay? And the nearest goal scorer after
that's
her.
That's in the league. Yeah. So she's okay. Got, yeah. Over that's, 40 altogether.
Yeah. Yeah. But 38 from 20 starts. Let's just talk about the league. And then Kimberly Castro scored 22 goals for Sporting Benfica. And Kendall Drake has scored 16 goals for Sporting Benfica. So between the two of them, you know, 32, you know, 40 goals. So the two of them have probably scored as many as Chloe has done herself, but they scored it between the two of them. The question I'm going to ask you is that if you take Chloe, because after that, Chloe's got 38, then you've got Nikki. Nikki Woods has scored 11 goals for Brentford.
Yep.
So is it a case that you take Chloe out of the side and all of a sudden it loses its shooting power?
Well, I think it's the age-old story. You take a goal scorer out of that, especially a very effective and very good goal scorer out of any team. And any team is going to score less goals. I mean, we've seen that with the men's team. We take Ivan out of it. I mean, we were still scoring goals, but not as many. But then again, as with the men's team, there are other players who would step up. And we've got Lucy Belito, who quite often comes on in the two, and she quite often will. She's a centre forward, and she'll knock in a few goals. So I think if Chloe wasn't there, there'd certainly be Lucy would pick up the baton. I think there'd be other people getting into those positions. I think that might not be as ruthless as Chloe is. But yeah, I mean, I'm confident we'd still be scoring plenty of goals, and they'd probably just be spread around the team a little bit more than they are at the moment. But when you've got somebody who's that prolific, you know, you just want to get the ball into them, because you know if she's there, she's almost, you know, she's going to score a lot of the goals. But you know, you talk about Nikki, who has actually been quite phenomenal this season, that coming down the wing. I mean, she's just beats a lot of people. She'll beat a lot of defenders, a lot of very good defenders, and she gets some wicked crosses in, and she also scores some wicked goals. And then, you know, there's Regan Brainer at the back, who's a centre half, who really is a proper, what I would term a Rolls-Royce centre-half. Nothing phases her. She's always calm on the ball. She brings the ball out. She brings, you know, brings others into play. She knows when a good hoof is required, because occasionally any level of football, a good hoof is what's required. And I think she is absolutely calmness personified on the ball. Nothing phases her. She's a fabulous player. And one other person I really want to draw attention to, who for me, from last season, is by a mile the most improved player in that team, is Freya Worsley, who's sort of like the midfield playmaker, who I would have said last year was sort of like probably only just on the edges of the team. And but this year, she's an absolute revelation. Absolute revelation. I think she's been brilliant. So she's a beautiful playmaker in the middle. So those are the ones to watch out for. But, you know, there's girls getting goals from all over the pitch. Kirsty Matthews, left foot rocket on her. So, you know, she's the one who scores, you know what, great goals. You know, she only scores great goals.
That's right. Okay, you always need at least one of them in the sides. So listen, we're going to go off. We're going to go away. We're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about the Brentford women's team.
Brian Reid is here. Brian is a stalwart, I think, of Brentford women, being the parent of Jodie, who plays in the team on a regular basis. Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So just wanted to sort of like ask you, what's it? I mean, I've only got boys and I've stood on the touchline at rugby, cricket, football. And even at the most basic level, and we're talking the most basic level, it can get to a point where it gets quite stressful watching your child play football. Do you ever find that's the case watching Jodie, especially at the level that she's now reached?
Not so much now. I did when she was first starting, because she was taking on the mantle from me, but obviously I wasn't very good. I suppose, yes, you can do at times, but, you know, that's your little girl out there playing her football. Yeah, it does get a little bit stressful, but, you know, she's enjoying it, so I'm enjoying watching her play.
So how old was Jodie when she first started playing?
She first got into a team at under 10.
Right.
And that was Colne Valley, which is a local team.
And was it a mixed team or a girls' team?
No, Colne Valley is all girls. And it always has been.
What was her pathway into play for Brentford women then?
Well, when it got to, she got to about 15, the team that she was in folded, because a lot of them, the parents had said, look, you're studying for your exams, we can't do it. And Jodie went, I still want to play. And she was 15 at the time, and Brentford, she'd see a thing for Brentford trial, so we went along and they signed her up. So, and she's been there now, what, 9 years?
9 years, wow. So she's gone through quite a the team's gone through quite a transition. And I mean, have you seen the team's changed an awful lot, and they've gone through how many divisions have they gone up in that time?
I would say they've gone up about four divisions.
And obviously the standard of the team are playing. Have you noticed Jodie as a player must have improved so much in that time?
Yes, she has. I mean, I've always known she's good, or had the quality, but she always wanted to play with her friends. I'd always said, look, do you want to go somewhere else? And she said, no, I'm enjoying it. So I just left her. Because if I pushed her to go somewhere else, it might have turned her off the game a little bit. So I just let her do what she wanted. And then when the team's folded, she was ready to go to pastures new, which was Brentford.
I mean, you say she's been at Brentford 9 years now. So the journey of her as a player and the journey of the team to the level they're at, I mean, what is, in terms of the standard of football they were playing when she first started and the standard of football that you're seeing with you know, the evidence of your eyes now, what is the difference there?
It's night and day. It was hardly any quality, really. I mean, they were getting by, but now you can see there's a structure, how the manager wants them to play, and they're all good enough to play the way he wants them to play. which is really good to watch.
In terms of training and in terms of the amount of time that Jodie has to put into her football now, how much more time is she having to put in now to say, you know, 4 or 5 years ago?
All she was doing 4 or 5 years ago was one night. Now they do weight training in Jersey Road on a Tuesday. They also do training on a Wednesday for 2 hours at Edmonton Sports, and on Friday night as well. So they tripled what they were doing before. And you can tell by the physical fitness of the team. They play for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
You can see that, yeah, they're good for it.
And that's quite a big time commitment for her. Is it a big time commitment for you, or does Dad's taxi come into... Mum's taxi coming to use, or is she getting herself to and from all of that?
Used to, but obviously she's passed the driving test. She's got her own car, so she's off now. So we go.
Yeah, you get on with it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And obviously it must be hugely proud watching her play. I mean, because how long have you been a Brentford fan?
Longer than I can remember. Yeah, I used to go with my dad and granddad when I was 8 or 9, when we used to stand behind one goal in the second half, run up the other end and go by the other goal. it was a long time.
So what does it mean to you to see your daughter walking out in the red and white stripes?
So proud. I just wish my dad and my granddad was about to see one of their granddaughters playing football for Brentford. They would have been over the moon. Yeah. They would have been so proud.
And for you and your wife, Julie, what's it mean to be able to go to the G-Tech and watch her there, watch her on the big stage?
I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic. It means the world to me, because I just wish that I was good enough to have been able to do it, but I can't. So I'm doing it through my daughter, which is, I'm brilliant. I can't wait.
And how does Jodie feel about Sunday?
I think she's a bit nervous, but she's done it before, so she'll be all right.
Yeah.
She'll be fine.
All right, Brian. Well, enjoy Sunday. I'll see you in the pub or in the bar.
Yes, indeed.
We'll enjoy the game. And we've asked everybody so far, so a score prediction.
4-0.
4-0. Yeah, everybody's predicting lots of goals. So, I mean, I think we're as close to guaranteeing goals in any game as we probably can be, the way they've been playing. So,
yes, we can.
Hopefully they'll continue it on Sunday.
All I can say is that people who haven't seen them for a while will be pleasantly surprised with how well they play. They will be. Be a good game.
Yeah, they're a really, really good and exciting team to watch. All right, Brian, looking forward to it. We'll see you on Sunday, mate.
I'll see you Sunday.
Cheers.
Lainey, I mean, you're a football, I said football mum, but you're a football dad. You know, you were driving Seb around for years, you know, all over the place. You know, he played for Chelsea, you know, he played for his local team as well. And you were like the taxi driver, you know, and you sort of saw his football evolution. I mean, sort of just listening to that, it's quite interesting to sort of hear the parent talking about their daughter and kind of what their daughters to go through and what they've had to go through as a parent. And you could probably relate to that, can't you?
Yeah, I absolutely, you know, I loved every minute of it, to be honest with you. It was a whole decade of, you know, from the age of, well, more than that really, from the age of sort of four and five when they start running around doing those kind of Saturday morning club things, all the way through to, you know, being signed by Chelsea and training over at Cobham for a couple of years, and the highs and lows of all of that, and, you know, turning up for training and here and there, and you know, it was lovely. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, it's a lot of miles and a lot of work, but just spending that amount of time with your kid, talking about it before and afterwards, and then watching them and supporting them and cheering them on, you know, whether they're a, you know, young boy or a young girl, that's what's brilliant about the way the women's game or the girls' game is evolving now. There's, you know, there's that equality is there, and you know, the two are just as serious as the other. The two are just as important as one another, and you know, taking your daughter to training is not seen as something odd anymore. And you know, and it was at one stage, girl playing. You know, now it's it's brilliant. You know, young girls can aspire to have role models and see women achieving the highest accolades in the game and achieving things and getting to World Cup finals and semi-finals and winning the Euros and seeing the nation celebrate. It's incredible. So yeah, as a parent, just you know, just support your kids and you know, get them being fit and reaching their potential. And if they're not that good, then they run around and they meet friends for life and they stay fit. So yeah, I miss those days, to be honest with you, Bill. And yeah, if you're in the middle of that, just treasure the days and treasure the moments, because the kids grow up quick and you know the priorities change for them. So yeah, I think that, you know, I can really appreciate listening to another parent encouraging their daughter.
Yeah, and just quickly, how would it be for you if your son said he's going to play for Brentford in the same way that obviously, you know, the Reeds say they've got their daughter playing for Brentford? I mean, how almost like, is that like an extra layer of sort of kind of bulging heart?
Yeah, well, I saw him play for the Centre of Excellence for a while, and yeah, they played in the, you know, the red and white stripes, and you know, that's as near as I got. But you know, he was a good player, but you know, it takes more than that sometimes. So yeah, I kind of had a little bit of that, but not to the level of, you know, watching him play in the first team and that Dobson did and you know, Kev O'Connor did, and you know, people that have been through the youth team and sort of lived out that dream. You know, you and I have become really good friends with Paul Buckle the last few years, and he's another one of those that came through the ranks and you know, reached the first team, and you can still see that pride now, you know, in the club means everything to him. And I think as I just alluded to, now I don't think it makes, you know, the difference between the men's team and the women's team is getting closer and closer, and I think that's just one of the really truly excellent things, the way the game's evolving.
And I think talking about, you know, people growing up in families and playing for Brentford, I think the story of the moment from that point of view is Maddie Phillips, who's playing at fullback for us now. She's just come into the team in the last few weeks. She's a lifelong Brentford fan. Her family are lifelong Brentford fans. And there's a lovely piece, if you search it on the, I think it's on the main club Twitter feed, not the Brentford Women Twitter feed, about what it means to her to play for the club that she's supported since she was, and her family supported all their lives. So, you know, what a thing to grow up to do, you know, to grow up and play for the club that you've supported and your family have supported their entire lives. It's incredible.
I mean, so what's it like being a fan going around watching the Brentford women's team? Ali Mullally went out and she went out and searched for a super fan. I think that's what they call them, a super fan of the women's team. Mark, the Ristic. And he gave us the lowdown on what it's like being a super fan for the Brentford women's team.
Okay, so I'm here with Mark Ristic.
Hello.
Before we get started, how many taps have you got now?
I've literally just gone over 8,500.
8,500 taps. Mark is a man of many taps. So, Mark, you go home and away with the men, and you go home and away for most of the women's games as well, don't you?
Yeah, I do, mostly certainly the men's, but I do try and get to as many of the women's away games as well.
What do you find the main differences are, shall we say, between the men's and women's games? I mean, I find going to watch the women a lot more of a chilled experience than watching the men. I don't know how you feel about it. How do you find that? What do you find that's different?
I've got to agree that there's two aspects to this, really. If you'd asked me that question 3 years ago, before the women's team had developed where they are now, it was just a day out for having a drink with my friends. 3 years ago, I think the women's team was in a very different place. But in answer to your question right now, compared to where they've developed, other than just going for the drink and the social side of it, and obviously getting some developing, entertaining football at the time, I'm not going to belittle what they were doing 3 years ago. It's completely chalk and cheese to what it is now and how they develop, without a doubt. So other than just having the social side of it, the chilled side of it, as you absolutely say, drinking beside the pitch side is obviously a welcome addition, like they do at rugby, which, when we can't seem to be able to do it at the men's football or in national football stadiums. But nevertheless, the competitiveness and quality of the current football is also fantastic. But I'm sure you're going to ask me a question about that shortly as well.
I am indeed going to ask you. I mean, I've you've been going a lot longer than me. I've been going for about a year. And I would say, even in that year, the difference between the level last season, when they did really well and they were playing really good football, to this season, there's quite a jump already, just in one season. What have you seen as a fan? What have you seen changed over the last however many years you've been going?
Just following what we see on the news, Women's World Cup, the social media side, the just general, I'm no expert on this, but the presentation of the women's game, it's brought money into it. And it's also brought Brentford Football Club as an entity into supporting, I think, the women's club much, much more with sort of media events now and again. We actually have now even a substitution board with numbers.
It's very small,
but a year ago we didn't have that. Nope. We have music when a goal is scored.
That's
a debatable point. Everyone's welcome to hear that. I'm not going to spoil it if they don't turn up. But the point being is there has been input into the women's game, certainly at the Brentford first team level, women's first team level. And it's nice to see that development through with a bit more. I think they're being reported on every match as well now. It's almost instant, the results coming through. Good report. Even I look at the results every week from the FA. It's updated very quickly. This is the development I've seen even in 1 year of being in this promoted league. I believe they got promoted last year, if I remember rightly. God, yeah,
No, we didn't. Dorking got promoted.
That's right. Oh, yes. Missed the best team. More importantly, the challenges that they've had to face and do with money, being able to get to games, all the rest of it, as they've been playing better and better quality teams. I have to also commend what Carly and Sean have been doing as well. They've stuck to, I think, a plan over the 3 years. Once the people have got settled and established in it, this is now a very difficult squad to break into. That's the quality and level that they're playing at. That's another big difference from the start of the year, let alone the past 3 years. So where the squad's developed over the past 3 years, certainly this year, which we're coming to the tail end of this season, absolutely right. There is, as always with football, when teams are doing really well and flying high, everyone wants to play and no one's injured. When you're at the other end of the league, it's a different world and a different beast altogether. And what happens in the dressing room is a massive part. You know, the hidden stuff that we as fans don't see in the 90 minutes on the pitch in front of us, that obviously plays a part. So credit to the team behind there. And I know there's others who I'm not expertise in, but we see Sally coming down to games. We see the interest. John Varney's been down for a few games. I think Ben Mee, was it this?
Ben Mee came once.
They all came down. And now even, who was it there yesterday? On Sunday. XB, Marcus Gale.
Oh, that's right.
I called him a glory hunter. I said, what are you doing here, Marcus? First time you've turned up in ages. Well, what's going on?
He only turned up for the last 5 minutes, didn't he?
And obviously a great amusement, but great to see that obviously there's interest, and that wouldn't happen if you didn't generate good results. And all credit to women, that's what they're doing at the moment.
I mean, you've said, and I quite agree, it's become quite a difficult squad to break into.
Yeah.
What do you think has been the difference? Why has there been a leap between, say, last season and this season? What do you see as the difference?
It's the focus, probably. You could say that laid-back, chilled attitude that you mentioned at the start. I think from the women on the pitch, all I've seen for the sake, like Regan in defence, Nikki, people like that, they've really established their positions, focused. I think Carly and Sean have got people focused. I think they've made some bold decisions. They've probably upset some of the women who are on the bench now and again, who said, "Nah, we don't need you at the moment, but keep training hard, keep working hard." Oh. I think it's the focus on the task in hand, being disciplined, probably not in a Pep Guardiola sort of way. I think that's a different level altogether. I'll tell you what, they're not professional, but they play and act professionally with the way they put themselves about on the pitch. And I have to say this, you know, I've got no vested interest other than enjoying football as a football fan for Brentford in all its shape or form. It really is worth a watch because they do play with a lot of style and skill for it is tier six football at the moment. You never know, it might be tier five football next year. It's a long, long, long way away. But even if you're watching it now, it's good competition around them and they are looking good.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I think in terms of a sort of like almost an ethos of Brentford Football Club, that they remind me in the way they play on the front foot and the way they move the ball around the pitch. You can see there's a Brentford ethos. I would say if you go back to the Championship when we were flying in the Championship, you sort of like think of the BMW games. It's that sort of, it's almost been that sort of attacking, exciting football this season, hasn't it?
Oh, you can absolutely see the similarities, Ali, yeah. They will play out from the back. They will use four at the back. Very rare we use five at the back. There's no scarediness here with, you know, respect for the opposition. They'll mix it up, swap it around if we're doing well. The correct substitutions will come in midfield, striker, rest people. It's managed well. But you're absolutely right. The style that they're using does remind you very much of what I think most of the time Thomas Frank would like to emulate in the Premier League. But admittedly, they deal with a vast range of opposition, a quality of opposition from, say, the notional top six to... I'm going to say Burnley. We were at Burnley, but yeah, there we go. We all had counselling after that game. That it's more stable. The difference in skills in this league. It's a smaller league as well, in that regard. So you are looking to buy at the top. But yeah,
what would you say to a fan who's only ever been to the men's watch the men's team before, who's thinking of coming down to the G Tech on Sunday? What would you say? You know, the reasons they should come for.
If you want to see a stylish, slick outfit that's probably playing a league or two below where they should be at the moment, to see a similar effort, to see people at the right end of the league, not the wrong end of the league as well, who maybe, oh God, this is probably going to get me in real trouble, could show the men a thing or two without a doubt.
Oh!
The women are certainly leading the pack here, and I think the Brentford B ladies are doing remarkably well in their league as well. From what?
Oh, yeah, we should mention them.
I've just won Brentford ladies team. Admittedly, my interest hasn't been in the other one, but I've followed their results. They're flying high, apparently, so they're going to do well. But in answer to your question, if you want, I'm going to touch on some of your comments, a nice chilled out day to watch some good football managed by some really good people. We've got a cracking squad that is hard to break into, that are just winning. I think it's, 11 out of 12 wins or something out at the moment? I can't remember. You will see a good style of football. It'll be reminiscent of what you see in the men's game. Yes, you are definitely going to see a goal, I'd like to say.
I think we're... What? Or you can, as close to guaranteeing goals as you can at the moment.
The only hand grenade I've got to chuck in here is that we haven't talked about refereeing and the general standard of refereeing in the lower leagues, but for want of a better phrase. It has got more stable towards the end of this season in the women's league down there. It used to be quite shocking a year or two ago, but it'd be hilarious if VAR was available to us on the day.
Let's not go. We don't want to ruin it. Let's not spoil the day.
And if you're using a Premier League stadium, wouldn't you?
No.
But the point being is, let's hope the officials don't get scared and overawed by the occasion there. I think our women will be absolutely fantastic on the day. They've done this before. They're actually focused on the final of the Cup, as we know from last week. Mm. Cracking semi-final win against a great team. They're in the final out of the Capital Intermediate Cup, I believe, and they're flying high. So if you're going to see people who are motivated, it's not just a laugh for these women on the pitch. They're serious, and there could be people being headhunted for bigger stuff, I've got no doubt. So it's not just a sideline. And for the club to say, yeah, here's the pitch, come on, come down, do it.
In one sentence, score prediction.
Given what I've seen recently, 5-1 Bees.
5-1 Bees. All right, Mark, we'll see you there on Sunday.
Ali, looking forward to it. See you there.
Cheers, mate. Cheers.
Bye now.
So there you have it. So look, really looking forward to this. Got a big game, like I said to you, Ashmount Lee, on Sunday at New Griffin Park. Some people call it the G-Tech. Tickets are still available. They've sold over 6,000. 8,000 tickets. Now, there's only two stands open, so it's going to be pretty lively. I mean, I was looking around at the tickets and there's like batches here and there. So basically, it's going to be pretty full. So like I said to you, definitely get yourselves down there, get your mates down there, get your families, get your neighbours down there, get little school trips down there, whatever you need to. It's a Sunday afternoon. Weather's actually going to be fairly decent. We can actually go out without it absolutely raining for once. So go out there and definitely go out and enjoy yourself. Go to the Brentford website and you can just go there and buy your tickets on there. The kids are free and I think the adults have to pay a couple of quid. That's all, just to cover a few costs. It's fair enough. There's music and drink promotions and face painting and all sorts of stuff like for the younger kids there as well. So yeah, definitely coming down. Just looking, I said to you, Ali, about this game. I mean, I know, like I said to you, because of Brentford being in the cups, it just makes the I actually really hate it when you see these leagues. And these leagues have a situation when, you know, some teams have played 11 games, some teams they play 16 games, 17. It's all over the place. So you can't really get a good idea of how the league is because, you know, normally you like the fact that the teams have played each other at least the same amount of times or maybe just one game off each other. But it is what it is, as they say. And Brentford, like I said to you, have got five games on the leaders, Sport London and Benfica. Like I said to you, I'm saying putting Brentford and Benfica in the same statement, in the same
the massive
as well.
Game, the really massive game is the 21st of April when we play Benfica at home.
That's right.
So we really, really want the Premier League to not move the Everton game otherwise to the Sunday, because otherwise it will clash. So let's hope they don't.
Yes, okay. But there's that as well. But like I said to you, Brentford, if they win all their games in hand, they will actually be 1 point behind Sport London Benfica at the moment. And that's why I'm saying to you that it's actually kind of really kind of, it's actually quite important, this game and all the other games. And then there's still quite a few games to go, but it goes to show you that it's going to be probably a little bit of a two-horse race and it's going to be very tight between the two. So like I said to you, hopefully people will see the game on Sunday, will be hooked in and maybe come down to actually kind of see the horses coming around Beaches Brook, coming around the last lap of the race course, isn't it, Ali?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, what would be really nice is what, and ideally what the GTEC games do is sort of like get people wanting to watch the women's team. Go, oh, I might, got a free Sunday afternoon. Oh, I might go down to Bedford and watch the women's team because I really enjoyed watching them at the GTEC. And it would be really great to grow the number of people that are watching the women on a regular basis because, like I said, they play some fantastic football. They're a really good watch. It's a great way to spend a couple of hours. It really is. It's really, really enjoyable afternoon. I can't recommend it highly enough. So come along to the GTEC, see what we're talking about. And then when you like what you see, come down to Bedfont as well a few times and give them your ongoing support. And let's hope we can get promoted to the Premier Division for next season, because that would be a fantastic achievement. Because I know it is an aim of Brentford as a club to grow the women's team organically and go up through the leagues, or you know, sort of like step by step, not just buy in a load of players and throw a lot of money at it, but which I think is good because it means that the players who are there now will sort of like grow with the team, and it's sort of like not just throw everybody out and get a whole load of new players in. So I think that's the way it should be done. That's the way they're aiming to do it, and I think with the backing of the fans and the club, they can certainly do it.
That's right. Okay. And listen, it's not going to be a besotted podcast if we don't go around the table and try and get a score prediction. But what I'm going to do is, again, you know, you've seen a lot more games than, say, myself and as Laney's done. So it's only fair for me to maybe sort of throw a couple of sort of little pointers in the direction. So maybe sort of somebody can get an idea. So Rashmont Lee, right, recently Laney, they've played, they lost 3-2 to Dulwich Hamlet. They lost 6-1 to Sport London Benfica as well. They lost 5-0 to Denham. As well, like, you know, they beat them, but then they beat Denham 4-3 in their last game, you know. So it's going around, you know, Denham are a couple of places below, I think one place below Brentford, you know. Dulwich Hamlet are, I think they're second in the league at the moment now. So it's just giving you a flavour for, you know, for where they are. They lost 3-1 to Richmond Park as well, you know. So and they lost 2-1 to Camden and Islington, and I think Brentford beat them about 12-0 or something like that, was
14-0.
It 14-0 fairly recently. So I'm just giving you an idea, so putting a flavor out there for you. So give us a score prediction. I'm going to go to you first, Ali.
7-0 Brentford.
7-0 to the Bees.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm being over optimistic.
Okay, all right. And Laney.
11-1 Brentford.
11-1 to the V's, and I'm sitting down there thinking, oh, should I go for my 2-all like I normally go for? I think I might bypass that one this for this time and be a little bit optimistic. There's no point sitting on the fence on this one, I think. I'm going to go for Brentford 9, Ashmount 2. There you
no
go.
Pressure, girls. No pressure, no. Girls.
So listen, this is the Besotted Pride of West London podcast. I hope you enjoyed that. It's a very different podcast in the fact that, you know, we've had different voices on there talking about different things, and thoroughly enjoyed it. Don't forget to buy us a beer, besotted.com/beer. Also, like I said to you, subscribe to us on all good podcast channels. We're going to try and see if we can bring you a post-match podcast. Not promising anything, but if we can do, see if we can bring you a post-match podcast after the match, and then we can hear if any of these predictions were anywhere close to being where they should have been as well. But like I said to you, thanks very much for listening as well. I'm Billy the Bait, and I've got Ali Mullally in the place.
Come on down to the G-Tech on Sunday. You won't regret it.
I've got Lainey in the house.
Good afternoon.
We got the women in the place. They've got the Ashmount He coming down, and they're going to be very scared.
Come on, you
bees.
Come on, you
bees. Come on, you bees. Go and kick those lees.
And their ship. And their ship.
Beat the lees.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.